From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 9th day of July, 2020. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker. He's at Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. Matt Bennett will join us to discuss the cash grain side of the situation. We'll preview tomorrow's USDA World Agriculture Supply Demand Estimates with the ag economist from the University of Illinois. They've already developed a new S&D table based on the acreage and grain stocks report released the last day of June. And we'll take a look at the weather forecast today, too. That with Mike Tenor from T-Storm Weather in Chicago on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
In Chicago, July corn finished at 351 and a quarter today, up 3 cents. December 357, 2 3/4 higher. The March at 366 and 3/4, up 2 1/4. July beans up 3.5 cents at 898 and a quarter. And the November at 901 and a half, up 4 1/4. Bean oil 27 cents higher. The bean meal up $3.50. And July soft red winter wheat 8 3/4 higher at 526. 6 1/4. Live cattle futures were a dime higher. The feeders up 47.5 cents, and lean hogs a $1.80 higher. Dan Zwicker, Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas, now joins us to take a look at what happened in the marketplace. We'll get to the USDA reports in just a bit, probably, but first give me your assessment of the trade in Chicago.
Well, it all started with the June acres report that showed acres, especially in corn, well under what the trade had been working. So that popped corn higher, and beans came in on the low side, so beans came higher. And then now we've added the normal seasonal mix of weather adversities, weather forecasts at a critical time frame. This is especially critical probably for the corn crop. We got something like, 80% of the corn crop is going to pollinate, has or in the process or will be pollinating here probably over the next 3 weeks. So weather is going to be real important in here, and I think that's kind of the key focus. As with all weather markets, you got a different weather map every different hour and different interpretations of it. And the market just doesn't know what to do with the weather maps, and it's real hard to trade. When I was a full-time market advisor, I always hated weather markets because there's just nothing you can, you just don't have anything that you can control. When a market turns into a weather market, you just kind of got to decide yourself what price is the price I'm willing to sell at, and you close your eyes and you pull the trigger, and so be it. You know, if it was early, it was early. You know, maybe you got some more to sell later. And that's kind of where we're at right now, is we are working the supply side of the equation. The demand side of the equation is kind of taking a back seat, at least for right now, until we get a little further down the road on trying to determine what the actual size of this crop is. I don't think USDA's report tomorrow is really going to give the trade any comfort. But anytime USDA gives official numbers, they are official numbers, even though they're not necessarily surveyed numbers for yield, but they will be what USDA is looking at based upon what they see in crop rating levels and whatnot. And then, of course, we're always wanting to see what they're outlook is on the demand front, if they see that improving, deteriorating, whatever. So that it'll give the trade a barometer, but we're going to quickly go back to trading what the weather forecasts are. And like I said, we're at the time of year where weather forecasters put rain in, take rain out, put heat in, take heat out. It's just kind of a seesaw situation here. Until one of two things happen. Either we get a good Corn Belt rain and we top off the crop, or we miss everything, or there's a major area in the Corn Belt that misses something, and then all of a sudden the market has to take a rally up to kind of compensate for whatever destruction they think that adverse weather pattern had on the crop. whether it was a 5 days, 100 degree heat, or whether it was 10 days of 100 degree heat. So it is tricky in here. Cyclically, I still want to be friendly toward the market as we go into, you know, late summer, early fall. But I also know that this is make or break kind of the crop in here, I think, depending upon how the weather pattern plays out. So you do have to pay attention in here. You look at today, we closed higher, but we closed well off our session highs, which is a little concerning from a technical perspective, but it's not necessarily uncommon when you're in a weather market like this. Everybody kind of takes off a little of their risk. But, you know, if you look at the corn chart, there is kind of a flag formation in it. And just glancing at the December corn futures, if this is a flag formation or if it's validated through drier weather forecasts or adverse weather conditions as we go into next week, you could probably read the December corn futures chart-wise. Now, this is strictly a chart projection, maybe up into the 390, give or take a dime area. So that's probably what a lot of technicians are going to be looking at. If you're wanting to buy corn, that's what your goal is. But, you know, if it doesn't do that, then you exit, you know. But technically, that's what probably a lot of technicians are going to be talking about, this corn, maybe a pop in this these corn up into that 390, give or take 10 cents. So that's a $384 range. We'll see what happens at that, if that materializes. You go over and you take a look at maybe November soybeans. Soybeans is in a similar situation. We're overbought due to the run-up that we've had since that acres report, and then this adverse weather forecast or heat in the forecast. But beans are probably not as critical, or this weather period right now is maybe not as critical to soybeans as it is corn. But when you look at the November soybean contract, we did go up against that 200-day moving average. That kind of put the brakes on it there earlier in the week. And now we've kind of, you know, settled back a little bit, trying to regroup and try to take another run at it. That's going to be the key here, is whether or not November soybeans can kind of slice through this 200-day moving average, which is kind of in the 912, 913 area. I think if you can slice through that, then I think people are going to start talking about, you know, a run on up into the 950 area type situation. Beans have a tendency to move in 50-cent pieces. So we could be talking about that if corn would decide to take it. December corn would take its run toward that 390 area. Then you can maybe get November beans to take a run toward 950, give or take 20 cents. And we'll just kind of take it from there. But we're going to have dry weather to probably fuel it. Those are all technical targets that I think a lot of people will be looking at. Like I said, longer term, I still kind of want to be friendly, you know, as we go on into late summer, fall time frame. But if we would get the type of rally that some of the chart formations are indicating, it's probably a place for people to take a good look at peeling off some inventory, or at least putting some downward price protection on that inventory. You always kind of want to do it when it's scary to do it. And there's nothing scarier than a weather market, at least from a farmer's point of view.
Hey, thanks so much. I appreciate it.
Okay, Todd.
And of course, is Dan Zwicker. He's with Zwicker Consulting out of Waco, Texas. You know, ag economist from the University of Illinois have been working to fit the June USDA reports and current crop conditions into the upcoming monthly supply and demand tables. The July WASDE will roll together all kinds of information. University of Illinois ag economist Scott Irwin and Todd Hubbs have been working through the numbers, trying to get a handle on just what USDA might do. In this particular report, the World Agricultural Outlook Board can adjust projected yield based on a crop weather model. The two U of I number crunchers set about seeing if they could replicate it and say they succeeded. The expectation is the national average corn yield will remain at 178.5 bushels to the acre on the smaller corn acreage base of about 92 million. So right now, the deal is demand, says Todd Hubbs.
Economic conditions are going to have a lot to say about this before it's all said and done. We saw hog farrowing intentions be quite strong. We're looking from the fourth quarter of this year and the hogs and pigs report last week. There's a lot of livestock out there. If that meat demand stays strong and we start getting restaurants back open, I think you can see that tick into 2021. Even with that, I don't see how we get to over 6 billion bushels of feed and residual at this much smaller crop.
Illinois' Hubs and Irwin have the feed and residual figure at 5.85 billion bushels. Corn used to produce ethanol at 5.2 billion and exports at 2.025 billion bushels.
Exports is where the big question is. USDA is at 2.15 billion bushels. I would love to be wrong about this and we would do 2.15 or 2.2 or 2.3. All of that would make me delighted. But with the kind of, you know, world economic situation we're in, I just feel like it might be tough to get to that level.
So here are the numbers Todd Hubbs and Scott Irwin are using in their University of Illinois corn balance sheet. They have the carry-in at 2.253 billion bushels, right at a 15 billion bushel production number for the crop in the ground, and total consumption near 14.5 billion bushels for a stocks-to-use ratio at 19.3%, with about a 2.8 billion bushel carryout for the 2020-2021 crop year. The season's average cash price is expected to be $3.40 a bushel for the new crop corn. We'll see USDA's numbers in the July WASDE. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand anytime you'd like. Just click and play right out of our website at willag.org, willag.org. Now, tomorrow at 11 o'clock, that July WASDE report will be released by USDA. That's Central Time, noon, if you're in the Eastern Time Zone. And if you visit WillAg at that time, or if you're following me on Twitter, at Commodity Week, either place, you'll see the numbers as soon as I can produce them and put them up on the web. It doesn't normally take but a couple of minutes to put them there, so watch for the numbers from the United States Department of Agriculture's World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimate at 11 o'clock tomorrow. And then in the afternoon, we'll follow up with our regular closing market report and a Commodity Week program that includes Matt Bennett, Dave Chatterton, and Jackie Vakes. That'll be produced after the 11 o'clock report. So those numbers will be all part of Commodity Week. It's the kind of service that you get from here at Illinois Public Media and the agricultural programming that comes to you from the University of Illinois. Each Thursday, we're joined by Mike Tenuri. He's at T-Storm Weather in Chicago to discuss the forecast around the planet. I suppose, Mike, we should confine ourselves to the United States today because there's a lot happening across the Corn Belt. Why don't you start with the next few days? I think there's some rainfall in the area, and that may continue. Maybe a cool-off, too.
Well, that's exactly right. We do have some storms that are going to move through over the next few days, and that all is because of the cool-off that you mentioned. There's a weak cool front that's approaching as we speak, and that will slowly move through the Corn Belt over the next few days. On top of that, we do have a separate wave of energy that'll move through on Saturday and Sunday. And between all of these different features, we will see scattered thunderstorms around the Corn Belt. It's extremely difficult to pinpoint exactly when and where any of these storms will form, and that's even exemplified as by what's taking place today. We have a pretty good thunderstorm cluster in parts of Iowa and Wisconsin, and that's going to assemble as we move into tonight. But this feature has not been well picked up by most computer models, and that's because the atmosphere is just too complex of a feature to be modeled accurately at this time of the year and in this type of setup. So we're just going to say that the entire Corn Belt will receive a half of an inch to 1.5 inches of rain over the next 3 days, and that should cover all the different things that may or may not happen through then.
And after that, what happens?
Well, we start to turn warmer once we get into Monday and Tuesday. This cool-off that we have coming up is not going to be a major cool-off. It actually will only bring temperatures back to normal levels. And keep in mind that today is the 13th consecutive day that U.S. corn production was warmer than normal. And we'll add on one or two more of those before it comes to an end this weekend. But again, we only drop down to normal, so we're not going to see high temperatures in the 60s and 70s, which would be considerably cooler than normal. We'll just end up right around 80 to 85 during the day and around 65 at night. The thing, though, is that once that cool period goes away, it does turn a lot warmer early next week. That's where the forecast turns uncertain once we get into the middle of next week. We know it's going to turn warmer on Monday and Tuesday, so you can kind of plan on that. Once we get into next Wednesday and Thursday, it's a bit unclear whether or not a large system in Canada is going to send a cool front swooping through the central U.S., which would basically mark an end to another period of hot weather, or if that front is going to hang up to the north and allow a large field of southwest winds to flow through the Corn Belt and basically leave a wide area pretty hot over the middle and end of next week. No matter which scenario plays out, we can see that the cool front will end up eventually dissipating and passing to the north, so that no matter exactly what happens to temperatures later next week, we also turn a lot warmer 7, 8, 9, 10 days from now. And at that point in time, 90s will become widespread again and will lows in the 70s. So basically, Todd, it's going to be warmer than normal no matter how you look at it over the next 2 weeks. And it's already been a very warm month.
Is your expectation this will be a persistent problem for the rest of the summer?
Well, that's always a challenging thing to answer because you never want to out-forecast the weather. But the one thing you do need to think about is that a lot of the times, one of the few correlations that do exist across time in the weather world in the Corn Belt is that what happens in July, a lot of the time repeats in August. And so if you have a warm July, a lot of the times you have a warm August. If July is wet and cool, August is wet and cool. Now, not every year works out that way, but this one is very likely going to be warmer than normal for the month of July. And it might seem surprising, but it could end up being one of the very warmest on record, especially if that cool off next week is not all that significant. We've been steadily running about 4 degrees warmer than normal every single day throughout the month, and it looks to stay pretty similar going forward. One of the warmest Julys on record was back in 2011, and the mean temperature for the Corn Belt over that entire period was only 4.1 degrees warmer than normal. So this warmth that we're dealing with now is a little bit different than a traditional heat wave where you might have a few really, really hot days and then it goes back to normal. And then it's really, really hot again and then you go back to normal. This has just been kind of a steady, slight warm period with daytime temperatures a little bit above normal and nighttime temperatures a lot warmer than normal. And so it's hard to say if that'll continue into August, but it certainly is one of the things we're concerned about. And there is a little bit of historical support for it. Though again, at this point in time, we don't want to out-forecast the weather.
Thank you so much, and I'm really looking forward to our discussion again next week.
That sounds great. Me too.
Mike Tenura is with T-Storm Weather. He's in Chicago, Illinois, joins us each and every Thursday. Matt Bennett joins us on Thursdays as well. He's at Windsor, Illinois, and with AgMarket.net. Hey, good afternoon to you, Matt. Thanks for taking the time with me today.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks for having me.
I want to start with yesterday and then the follow through today in the soft red winter wheat pit. It seems like it must be pulling some of the marketplace higher, but I haven't really been able to pin down exactly why there was a 25 cent rally and another by midday 13 or 14 cents in wheat today for Chicago. Do you have a better idea than I do?
Well, just a couple of things. You know, we talked about this a little bit, but certainly there's world issues as far as weather's concerned, major heat in the Black Sea region, and, you know, similar type of weather pattern is what we're seeing, but it's certainly impacting them where they're not actually harvesting like we are right now, first of all, or, you know, done in a lot of places. But then second of all, there's a, the Commitment of Traders report showed a much bigger fund short than what the trade expected. And I think a fair amount of short covering came in, especially given the weather. I think a lot of folks don't want to be terribly short in the event that you see, you know, corn and soybeans, big beneficiaries. I don't think anybody wants to be holding a huge wheat short.
So we have a USDA report tomorrow at 11 o'clock. Producers have a great deal, or did have a great deal of corn still on hand in the bin or at the grain elevator. There has been a rally this week in both old and new crop corn. What is your best marketing advice for them?
You know, when you're looking at the old corn, you know, it's tough to continue to hold it, especially when you get to this point in the year. I would have some sort of risk management in place, if nothing else, just a put to get you through the next week or two, wait and see what happens here. Because if we do turn off wet and maybe the heat backs off a shade, there's no doubt we could drop pretty quickly. On the other hand, I've got to think that we're going to stay supported in here if these forecasts materialize. I know there's a little bit of rain in some of these areas. Heck, I got a rain last night myself, but the kind of heat that we're talking, it's certainly going to have an impact on your national yield. Given the fact that we already have a pretty decent carry, I've got to think that, you know, we're not going to rally substantially. But the other thing a producer has to keep in mind, you know, is that as you rally, the basis is liable to widen. And it could widen a fair amount because there will be quite a bit of corn, you know, rewarding these rallies. And I've got to think that you see a fair amount of pressure on that basis if the market continues to go up.
Anything you're doing with new crop at this time, either corn or soybeans?
You know, if we get corn up to 365, I think it's another level that we're going to step in to make some sales, 925 on soybeans. And so both of those areas are places we're going to go. If we do get a rally to 380, then that's going to push, we're probably going to sell 20-25% of our crop, and that push us up to about 60% sold. So, you know, I've got to think that if you get some sort of a rally in here based upon hot and dry weather, you've got to at least incrementally sell as you go up. I don't want to get too leveraged on physical bushels. So some floors in place would be a really good thing to do as well.
Finally, what do you think tomorrow's USDA report will show? It now can incorporate the June acreage and the grain stocks figures.
You know, the cool thing is that, you know, we're certainly going to be looking at a much smaller carryout for new crop corn based upon the acreage figures. Whenever we look at soybeans, I've got to think that it's going to be a little more friendly supply and demand balance sheet, as we've seen for quite some time. I don't think that they'll be able to drop bean exports, probably going to drop corn exports a little bit, though, just based upon you know, last several weeks' performance. And so it'll be very interesting to see where we come in. I don't look at for it to be a huge market mover, and I would expect within a couple minutes, without any major surprises, we're going to be trading weather again.
All right. Hey, thanks so much.
Hey, thanks, Todd.
Matt Bennett is with AgMarket.net. Joined us on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.